This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
So originally, when I began research for this episode, I wanted to do it on the history of Saturday morning cartoons. They used to be a pretty big presence in America. But as I dug deeper, I discovered that the history of cartoons in America hides a secret battle between the age-old forces of safety and freedom, a battle that raged behind the scenes, unbeknownst to cereal-eating children throughout the nation. So today on our show, we're going to learn all about it. And knowing is half the battle. Is the history of cartoon regulation on History Unpacked. So let's start where it all began. In the early days of television, people realized the potential of the device as a form of children's entertainment, and soon animated short films from movie theaters began making their way onto the small screen, along with characters like Betty Boop, Bugs Bunny, and the like. But then TV executives realized just how much kids loved watching cartoons, and from there things really picked up speed. In particular, Hanna-Barbera Studios mastered the art of minimizing animation cost and effort so as to turn out an impressive number of TV shows like The Jetsons, Johnny Quest, and more. But there were other things executives discovered too, like just how easy it was to use cartoons as a medium for advertisement. And they would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for a group of meddling mothers led by Peggy Charon. They noticed that shows like Linus the Lionhearted were full of advertising, and that, meanwhile, other shows, especially superhero shows, were full of violence, at least in their opinion. And so they formed the advocacy group ACT, or ACT, Action for Children's Television. Never mind that the acronym is contained within its own acronym, it was a fitting name because ACT was all about taking action. They filed petitions, organized boycotts, and more. This eventually led to almost all action cartoons, like the Herculoid, Space Ghost, and Birdman, getting removed from TV in favor of what was deemed more wholesome content, like Scooby-Doo, or Fat Albert and the Cosby Kid, like Scooby-Doo. But all that changed in 1981, when Ronald Reagan became president. Prior to Reagan, the presidency was held by Jimmy Carter, a Democrat, and a number of issues, like high inflation, caused people to support Reagan, who was famously in favor of deregulation, that is, removing restrictions from businesses. And one of those restrictions happened to be those created as a result of ACT, or ACT, which in turn led to a huge resurgence in action cartoons aimed at marketing products to children. But actually, I'm not totally sure this is completely due to Reagan. My research suggests that Carter had something to do with this too. Now, before researching for this episode, I was under the impression that much of the disappearance of action cartoons in the 70s was due to the Carter administration. After all, we've seen this trend happen elsewhere, like when President Barack Obama helped create the policy of net neutrality, which aimed to make internet bandwidth more accessible to smaller companies, but which was later repealed under Donald Trump, with the underlying reason being that it interfered with the business ecosystem. And so I always assumed that it was the same with Carter and Reagan when it came to cartoons. But from what I was able to uncover, the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, actually sought to deregulate television and were kind of uneasy with what ACT was trying to do, that is, force TV networks to comply to their demands. And so the FCC sought to find middle ground by making rules around children's programming voluntary, but recommended, especially when it came to a network getting their license renewed. Well, the FCC under Reagan abandoned the quest of middle ground, and soon TVs all over the country were exploding with merchandise-linked programs. Toy makers and TV producers alike were practically stumbling over themselves to capitalize on this new market. Innocent and impressionable minds across the nation were being convinced that they needed the latest action figure as money-obsessed corporations reaped the profits. And it was awesome. If you were a kid growing up in the 80s, it's likely that some of your fondest memories are of He-Man, Transformers, and G.I. Joe. Oh, I guess there was some stuff for girls, too, like Rainbow Bright and My Little Pony, but I didn't pay any attention to that girl stuff. But wait, if you're like me, something doesn't quite add up here. Because for those of us who grew up in the age of deregulated children's programming, you'll clearly remember these cartoons having messages at the end. Valuable lessons for kids, such as staying away from dangerous chemicals, the virtues of adoption, and the danger of eating styrofoam cups. So, if TV shows could do whatever they wanted, why did they have public service announcements? Well, if you want to be an optimist, you could chalk it up to the goodness of their hearts. And call me an optimist, but I like to think there's truth to this. I mean, it's likely some of the people involved in these programs had kids of their own, and I remember some of the shows being legitimately good. I think the creators did care about their work. But also, you have to make that cash, and while Reagan's administration did loosen restrictions on advertising and FCC licensing, groups like ACT still carried significant influence. To this end, each network had its own internal FCC called a Standards and Practices Department, or S&P. Each S&P had their own internal rules that the network followed to make sure it didn't get into hot water with the public. However, there was also the issue of syndication. See, S&P only applies to shows made by an actual network, but a lot of cartoons at the time were syndicated. This meant that companies would sell their shows directly to local networks, which were more concerned with cheapness and accessibility rather than adherence to guidelines. So this is why some shows, like Transformers, dealt with more mature themes than other cartoons. Now, that being said, toy companies knew that parents wouldn't buy their products if their associated TV shows made their kids act like psychopaths, and so they still worked hard to maintain a family-friendly image and abided by certain rules. This is why you never see blood, only see lasers instead of bullets, and why He-Man never slashes with that sweet sword he's got. Huh. Well, okay then. I guess that's how it is, right? Those conservative liberals getting all uptight and keeping people from having fun. Wait, what? Isn't that supposed to be the Republicans that do that? See, that's what's interesting about the topic of media and regulation. It shows how priorities change and evolve among subgroups as times change. And change the times did. By the time George Bush Sr. became president, people had gotten tired of awesome kick-ass cartoons. I mean, crass marketing towards kids. And there was also a revival in concern over violence. So Congress passed the CTA, or Children's Television Act, as a bipartisan response to citizens' concerns. Bipartisan. Those were the good old days. Oh, and yeah, ACT, CTA, that's confusing, huh? Just remember that ACT, ACT, was the concerned moms, the CTA was the government. Anyway, this gave power back to the FCC once again, and once again, programs were required to meet standards for educational content. And it was at this point, with children's programming standards written into law, that the ACT, that's the parents, remember, decided to retire to Avalon. The way they saw things, their goal had been accomplished. But that isn't where our story ends. It continues into the Clinton administration, when even more standards were put into place. Among other things, it required a certain amount of hours worth of educational programming, and this was a crippling blow to Saturday morning cartoons. You see, prior to this, kids' animation dominated the networks on Saturdays, but now they started to get replaced with educational content like science shows. However, while Saturday morning cartoons were in their death throes on the networks, this was a golden age for cable channels who weren't beholden to the FCC, like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network. And then came Fox. Fox was a broadcast network, like NBC or CBS, but it was a latecomer, less conservative when it came to programming, and was more comfortable with taking risks and defying the FCC. For this reason, Fox became home to some of the most memorable action cartoons of the 90s, which helped usher in a new era of more mature animation. In particular were the Marvel-based shows like X-Men or Spider-Man, along with Saban Entertainment's hit series The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. You might have heard of that one. But eventually, the changing face of television meant that Fox had to discontinue its Saturday morning animation block. However, Saturday morning cartoons still had a haven, particularly the WB network, which, at that time, was the home of Pokemon. And then eventually, even the WB network's kids programming began to die out in 2007. And that's pretty much how things stayed for a long time, until about 2017, specifically when FCC requirements once again became more relaxed. But it was like giving CPR to a corpse that was already just mostly a skeleton. Cartoons on network program had become so unprofitable that you could hardly find any at all. Meanwhile, streaming services and YouTube became the go-to for children's entertainment. And that's pretty much the current status of things now. You know, the rock band Rush has a song called The Trees, in which a group of maple trees and oak trees are embroiled in a rivalry over sunlight. But in the end, none of it matters because they all get chopped down. And when we step back and look at the warring sides of children's television, we see an argument that seems trivial at first, but carries deep implications about the role of government in the lives of people. And it was an argument that had legitimate points on both sides, but in the end was rendered pointless due to the unstoppable juggernaut of internet and streaming. Hey, which side do you identify with more, the regulation or deregulation sides? Tell us in the comments, because it helps the algorithm. Also, if you were a fan of 80s action cartoons, check out my books, Might of the Gods and A Princess of the East, simple English books with complex plots and lots of action inspired by the golden age of action cartoons. Thanks for tuning in, and remember, kids, don't eat styrofoam cups.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying DC politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.